Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. 31 days, 19 hours, and 57 minutes before the Century Tournament of Champions gets underway. It is 65 degrees in Kapalua, 64 in Honolulu, and we've got a flash flood watch through Tuesday for all islands, a high surf advisory for the west-facing shores of Oahu and Molokai, high surf warning for the north-facing shores of Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, and Maui, and a wind advisory until 6 o'clock Monday for Haleakala. And then there's the good old blizzard warning that's up until 6 o'clock on Sunday for the Big Island summits. It's about 55 degrees in Volcano. We've got a tea time for you at Makalei, 836. And at Poipu Bay, there's a 920 and a 1040 and a secret VIP going out today. Roha One Country Club, 920, 1030. Makaha East, 830, 930. The Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions is underway on the Emerald Course at Wailea on beautiful Maui. There's also a 1220 on the Gold Course and a 140 on the Blue Course that you can take. And I want to congratulate and thank Ko'olina again. The sale was a huge success. And congratulations, Sai of Kailua, for winning. You know, it's incredible. He went to the sale and he won free 4 rounds of golf. Isn't that great? I foursome. You can all go out and have a great old time. Who wouldn't want to do that? We've got a great show for you. We've got Anthony Pioppi, golf author, writer, historian. He's checking in. Dr. Brian Paxton is with us this time. Josh Hine, he's president of Solo Golf. Debbie Waitkus, co-founder of the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation. The last day to get your auction in to help raise money for the Marilyn Smith Scholarship. And Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, NBC and Golf Channel, Top Golf Hawaii, is with us right after we thank the people who thank you for making this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors: MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood, ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And here's Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you. Good morning, Danielle. And I was listening to your weather report and trying to figure out whether that's the weather report for Honolulu or is it Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of everything, aren't we? I mean, it's just,
blizzard warning.
Yeah, blizzard warning for the Big Island. The summit areas, of course, it's not going to come rolling through Hilo, fortunately. That really would be weather problems. Okay, PGA Tour. We've got one final, this is a real event that's happening right now, the Hero Challenge. You know, interesting, and I want to talk about this field coming up, but this PGA Tour in review, the year, the closing of the borders and the increased travel restrictions and the masking and the social distancing, and that was just last year. It's all the same today, except for now we've got a vaccine, like the flu vaccine, that'll make the infected person experience less COVID problems, less likely fatal, but still, now a new variant we have with us. It seems like we're, you know, back into that place where we have to make decisions based on how healthy we can all stay. What was the challenge for you with all of that going on this past year?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, there's a lot of uncertainty. You didn't know which tournaments were actually going to happen for a while there and which ones would. But the biggest challenge for me was not so much, having to do all the testing myself and the protocols. that we had to go through. You know, it was a very different experience. My first 33 or 34 years were just having a blast. I loved announcing golf, and it was fun, and you had a lot of people around all the time. And now, you know, there were no gatherings last year. We couldn't even be in a cart with another person. You couldn't share a rental car. You were basically on your own. There was no production trailer where you went in the office and sat around and talked to the boys and girls about golf. So it was a different kind of a feeling. I think the PGA Tour did a great job actually pulling the season off, but here we go again. And the problem, Danielle, now is that it's such a worldwide game. We saw what happened in South Africa, where the tournament this week lost its status with the tour, and the tournament next week was canceled. You know, you can't just say, well, if there's no problems in America, we'll go ahead and play PGA Tour events. You have to make sure that there's equal access from everybody around the world because of the world rankings and the way the game works right now. So I still see potential issues for the PGA Tour this coming year.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. Everything is kind of in limbo and trying to figure out the best way. For instance, at Century, there's going to be a media room this year, but there won't be any broadcast booths inside the media center, which is why we'll be doing ours remotely again.
Yeah, it broke my heart. I mean, I'm not going to stand for it. I'll put up with it one more year. That's it. But no more. We got to get back to the old days. Come on.
Yes, I totally agree. So we came out of lockdown, and everybody kind of got into the groove of playing here in the late summer and the fall, and things were kind of streaming along, at least on course for what we could see on television. And there was some really good competition despite the circumstances. It was great to see Colin Morikawa win the Open, and then win, you know, the DP Tour Challenge. I mean, wow, the first American. There were a lot of firsts this year, it seemed.
Yeah, it was quite a year. I mean, to start off with, it was the first year where you had two U.S. Opens and two Masters in the same year. Go figure that one out. I mean, so 20 years from now, when people look at those record books, they're going to say, What happened in 2021? You know, it was a strange year, but yes. By the end of the year, you know, the best players were all playing their best golf again. And you mentioned Colin Morikawa. You know, there was a lot of talk about the player of the year and should Patrick Cantlay have got it. He got it primarily because he won those two tournaments at the end. Many people thought John Rahm, you know, should have been the player of the year. I was kind of in that camp that thought he had the best year overall. But when I take a look at the world of golf right now, if you say to me, Mark, who is the best player in the world, I think I'm going to tell you that it's Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, totally. And he's right up there, tied for second right now. He's with Tony Finau, Brooks Koepka, and Bryson DeChambeau had an amazing, 10 birdies yesterday?
Yeah, he made a lot of birdies yesterday. I thought it was a good performance coming back after, you know, he laid an egg in the whole thing with Brooks Koepka in Las Vegas. That thing was a dud.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Okay, they can play bad golf. I'll let them get away with that. But where was the feud? Where was the entertainment? It was like just two guys were out there watching just two guys playing golf that really don't like each other, but there was no negative interaction. It just,
no.
Yeah, that one's set the match back. They're going to have to come up with a new thought after that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've got this incredible field, 30 guys, most of them stars, or stars coming up, you know, Will Zalatoris. Some were granted a special exemption into the field. And all of it, while I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I really understand this super tour concept, this live or 54. I don't know why it's the number 54. No one's explained any of that yet. Greg Norman's leading it. Saudi is backing it. Money went to the Asian tour. They certainly needed it. But it does have a certain appeal knowing everybody that's in the field. And I'm hearing more and more players say that it should be their choice to go. What do you think?
Well, you know, what you're talking about, of course, is this new Super League that they're talking about with Greg Norman. You know, it is backed by Saudi money. It's different from the tournament, which is the Saudi International Tournament, you know, which is happening in February. That's going to be the real test, Danielle, because that one tournament, which is also backed by Saudi money, and it's the same old problems that they have with human rights issues in that country. But they've already gotten commitments for the Saudi International Tournament from DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele. They've got a lot of really good players, Dustin Johnson, going. And the real question and the pressure is going to come on the PGA Tour commissioner, Jay Monahan, because in order for them to play, he has to give them releases to be released from their commitment to play in the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Mm. And he's going to be in a real dilemma. If he says, no, you can't go, then they are going to start raising up and saying, wait a minute, we're independent contractors, we can play where we want. If he says, yes, you can go, then in some ways he is he's saying, okay, you know, it's all right if you go play for that kind of money over there. He's in a really, really tough spot. The whole thing is a bad idea to me. I don't like the Super League concept, and I'll tell you why. I think it only works for players that are toward the end of their careers, that are looking to really cash in that maybe didn't. And the best example is a guy like Lee Westwood. You know, he never won a major championship, probably should have won a couple U.S. Opens, maybe an Open championship, didn't. There's a chance now for Westwood, you know, to potentially cash in, and he's one of the players that I think, you know, are serious about joining that league. But what did he have to do in order to do that? Danielle, he had to give up being the captain of the Ryder Cup team in Italy in 2023. I don't know. I just think, you know, you play for money or you play for history.
Yes.
If you listen to McIlroy and Woods, they want to play for history. Some guys, I guess, are going to have to play for the money.
Well, Colin Morikawa said something to the same effect. You know, that he was saying that it should be our choice. I choose to play with the PGA Tour because that's where the records are. That's what I've been dreaming about playing, so that I can compete against these records, compete for historic achievements up against the best of the best in the world. And I don't get this money thing. I mean, these guys are already making tons of money, not only from the winning, that's nothing compared to the advertising dollars they bring in for themselves, making deals. How much money can a guy earn or a girl earn?
How much can you spend? How much do you need? I don't know. I suppose it's easy for me to say. I've got a good job. I mean, you and I both do, but it'll be interesting. I'm going to have a chance to talk to Morikawa about this, Danielle. I'll give you a little heads up. He is coming to Hawaii very early. He's coming before Christmas and going to spend a couple of weeks here getting ready for the Century Tournament of Champions. I'm actually flying over to the Big Island and hosting a clinic at Kohana Iki with Colin on the 27th of December.
Cool.
So by the time Maui rolls around, he's going to have been in the islands for a couple weeks. And yes, what matters most to him is winning the important tournament. You know, he has got a chance to become the number one player in the world. And I think, you know, I think the Saudi Tour will get a few players. I'm hearing Mickelson, maybe. Mm. You know, it's probably a situation where Mickelson could really benefit. I don't want to say his PGA Championship win was a fluke, but I don't think he'll win another major, and I'd be highly surprised if he won another tournament. That's why Phil, frankly, ought to be at the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah.
He really should. This is his last chance. He's a PGA Tour winner. He ought to be here. I don't care whether he likes the plantation course or doesn't like it or is worried about the wind blowing or whatever it is. He has a chance of making history here. He does not in Saudi Arabia.
I heard that. But the PGA Tour is obviously a little concerned because they're also opening up the wallets. You know, the guys are saying, hey, you make so much money, more money than we get to, and we're the ones generating the cash, so we should get more money. And it looks like Mr. Monahan is definitely saying, okay, you know, this player impact program will up it from $40 million, the pot, to $50 million. We're going to increase purses to $10 million. So they must feel a little threatened by all of this.
Well, they certainly do, Danielle. That's a great point. But I'll tell you what worries me. To me, this increase of all this money is like a big balloon that's getting filled with more and more and more air. The purses are getting bigger. All this is happening. But you know what? The volunteers, week in and week out, are still paying for their golf shirts. There's going to come a point where there'll be pushback. They can keep giving the players more and more money. But at some point, you know, this whole structure of the way golf works, these volunteers are going to say, hey, my outfits are now costing me $300 to be a volunteer at a big tournament. And you raise the purse at the Century Tournament of Champions. Who cares whether the last place is $70,000 or $90,000? Is that going to make a difference? Yeah, I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I got to ask you about TV deals because we've heard about the renegotiations of the TV broadcast and this and that. Are we going to hear about who we're going to see? Is the LPGA going to get more eyes on during live action? Do you know? Have you heard? It seems to be so hush-hush.
It is hush-hush. It's very hush-hush. You know, television in general, as we know it, Danielle, is really changing. And frankly, I will tell you, I'm glad I'm at the end of my career, not the beginning, because I was able to really experience the heyday of network television and golf on network TV. 10 years from now, I'm not sure there will even be golf on TV as you know it. People will be watching everything on their phones.
Right.
I so hope the LPGA has a breakthrough, and they really need one. They don't need more television. What they need, in my mind, is consistent TV. The issue, I believe, with the LPGA is you never know when it's on. You don't know what days of the week. You don't know what time of the day. You don't know what channel. On the PGA Tour, you know that every day, Thursday through Sunday, at 1 o'clock, Eastern, you turn on the golf channel, you're going to have the PGA Tour. You know if you turn on either NBC or CBS on the weekend, golf's going to be on one of those two networks. The LPGA is so all over the place because they just don't have the power and the sponsor base. But what they need to find, I believe, Danielle, is consistency.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that, you know, Chevron stepped up and said $6 million is the purse for what was the ANA. You know, this is a major championship, and because if anybody needs their purses increased, it's definitely on the LPGA side, the Symetra Tour side, all of the women who are working their way up to the top. And I'd like to see more working together of the LET, LPGA, Symetra Tour. It's a good thing that's happening because the women, the American women, are really starting to contend against the South Korean women. You know, the South Korean women were like so dominant. A lot of American fans were like, well, where are our girls? Well, their girls are there. And there are lots of them coming on strong through the college program. I think we've talked a lot about that, and it's really, really working.
It really is. To me, the key is the LPGA needs to work with the PGA Tour.
Yes.
I really believe they do. I think they should be literally under the same umbrella, Danielle. And here's why. The PGA Tour, in order for them to be sustainable for many years going forward, they're going to help grow the game. And the game is growing on the female side. If you take a look at what happened, especially during the pandemic, there weren't a lot of the sustained rounds from the same old-timers that always played golf. What happened was there was a lot of new people introduced to the game, and half of them for women. And because of that, and because that is really the future of the golf industry overall, I think the PGA Tour will benefit highly if they help promote the women's game more. And the best way they can do that is to coordinate their schedule with the LPGA and help the PGA. For crying out loud, Chevron, you're right. It's great. They took over ANA. I know the guy that did the deal for Chevron. He's a friend of mine. They're going to Houston, Texas. But they don't have a course yet. They don't know what course they're playing in Houston, Texas. They want to go to Houston because Chevron's an oil company and Houston is oil country. But what they really need is some help. I think they're down there now trying to find a course to play in Houston. They will. They'll find one. But I really think the PGA Tour should work a little more closely with the LPGA to help make it successful. In the end, that's going to be the best thing for men's golf.
You know, I agree with you 100%, and I saw a gorilla in the room walking into the meeting about which course, and the gorilla saying, this course is going to be...
Yeah.
The PGA Tour, this course is one... you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Power. Tiger Woods, boy, did he, like, wow. I mean, I saw that 3 seconds and I went, say what? You know? and then I saw more, you know? Then he's practicing and he's hitting and he's like, is he going to play in the father-son PNC?
I think he is leaning more and more toward doing it. I am hearing that behind the scenes, there is some negotiation going on there, which would do a couple of things. He needs a golf cart, obviously, so he needs an exemption for that. And I really don't think he is in a position where he could hit any full drivers. So what they would have to create, I believe, is a dispensation where son Charlie could hit all the drives. Look, everybody's going to go along with whatever Tiger wants. And I thought there was no chance he was going to play a month ago, and now I think there is a chance. He will have to be in a little different category, but everybody wants him out there so much, and it sounds to me like he is leaning toward doing it.
That would be really something. I just don't want him. Like, he did something he wasn't supposed to before the time he was supposed to do it, and sometimes it's that kind of pushing yourself. It's good because, on the one hand, it's good because you're working hard to achieve and to change and to, you know, to heal. But to heal, that, you know, you got to heal before you push yourself too hard. So when he, that's the mother in me. What can I say?
Yeah, the other thing is, Danielle, you know, and on a whole different level, I've had to go through this with my cancer because it so altered my physical condition in my neck and my left shoulder area that I just simply, even when I recovered from the cancer, couldn't swing and play the game the way I used to be able to play it. Tiger's going to be the same way. He will never, ever play the way he played before. That doesn't mean that he can't be successful. He can be very successful, but you are not going to see him playing a power game. He is the greatest iron player, I believe, that ever played. And what he's going to have to do is really change the way he plays. He won't necessarily be dinking it around the courses and bunting it around, but you're not going to see him playing an aggressive, go for broke Tiger Woods kind of golf. He's going to have to keep it in play and rely on a different part of his game to be successful.
Yeah, so I've another vision of the, the rabbit and the turtle. And the turtle wins, it's certainly an absolute possibility. And, you know, as he said, Mr. Hogan, I'll have a schedule like Mr. Hogan, Ben Hogan. He did the same thing and, really took home some trophies. Mark Rolfing, are we going to talk again? Oh, so sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, people are saying it's just not possible if you don't play. Well, people forget that in 2017 and 2018, Tiger Woods played in two tournaments during that span, two only, and look what he did. So don't ever count him out. Don't ever second guess what he's doing. I think he will come back and play competitively again. We'll We'll see how he does. And I know what you're going to ask me. And the question is, we're going to do this again here in a couple weeks. And the answer is yes, my friend.
Yay. We're getting close to Century Tournament of Champions and the Sony Open in Hawaii. Can't wait to talk to you again. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst, golf commentator, Golf Channel, and NBC Sports. And he's all about Top Golf in Hawaii. Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. Got Debbie Waitkus, co-founder Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation and the founder and CEO of Golf for Cause. Well, today's cause is all about raising money for the Marilyn Smith Scholarship. We'll be back with Debbie right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family. This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Debbie Waitkus, co-founder Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation, founder and CEO Golf for Cause. Welcome into the clubhouse, Debbie.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. It's so good to be with you again. I hope you're off to a great holiday season.
Oh, you know, I'm falling behind. I need to hurry up and get ready for Christmas and the holidays and Hanukkah and all the stuff that goes on so that I have the right gifts and I don't know what to get anybody.
Well, I just may have a solution for you.
Oh, good. I'm so glad because today's the last day, right?
Yeah, today's the last day. We have an amazing auction going on online, and you and your listeners can all jump in. It's for the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation, as you mentioned, and I'm going to give you the URL real quick so you and your listeners can listen or kind of check it out while we're talking. It's 32 Auctions, and that's plural, 32auctions.com, MS, as Marilyn Smith, MS Foundation. So 32auctions.com, MS Foundation. And there are some great golf experiences out there, some trips. There are some Founders Legacy items that you can purchase. Marilyn's book, Shirley Spork, who's a co-founder, her book. If you got someone getting into golf for the first time, even my book is out there. There's the Marilyn Smith beverage is out there. And also the little head covers that we put together in honor of Marilyn with Jane Spicer from Daphne's Head Covers. Marilyn loved owls, and so it's a little hybrid cover with an owl and a strand of pearls because, as you know, Danielle, Marilyn wore pearls when she played golf and was known for that. So there's, you know, even some little things, and then there's some bigger things. So it's not kind of something for everyone. There's even some really amazing old Solheim Cup flags, commemorative pin flags that were signed, just really, really special items that are up for grabs.
Wow. Did you say Marilyn loves owls? I love owls. I didn't know that we had that in common. I need to get one of those. I need to go online and I need to, excuse me, everybody. I'm going to stop the show so I can go do some Christmas shopping.
I'm here to help.
Yes, you are. And you have helped me greatly. So maybe that's for me, though. Darn. Okay. So the Marilyn Smith Scholarship, that's why you're raising money, right?
Correct. We are. And as you know, there was no money for Marilyn as a student athlete. In fact, the athletic director told her dad, "I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, that your daughter's not your son." And that rings really deeply with a lot of us today, that that's totally not acceptable. And in 1999, Marilyn started a scholarship fund so girls could go to college and leverage their golf. And, you know, it's really not about a golf scholarship to get on the golf team and then turn pro, although there are some LPGA Tour players who actually are Marilyn Smith Scholarship recipients. Caroline Inglis is one. But Marilyn was the first to tell you how golf opened doors for her. It created community. It gave her what to talk about. It allowed her to travel the world. And for a lot of these girls, she wanted them to have the opportunity to get an education, to be able to have a core group of friends that would be lifetime friends, and really have a leg up. And it wasn't about being able to go to school in your town, because if you're a good golfer, let golf take you places. Get to a college that you want to get to. And that was kind of the idea. And I'm really excited to share with you that we've awarded, through the LPGA Foundation, more than $1 million to these girls. Wow. Who we have now gathered through the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation so that they have their own community, and they name themselves Marilyn's Pearls.
Oh.
Is that the sweetest?
That is wonderful. That's. Yeah. I was looking at the website. 199 women have already received scholarship money. That's really something. And my show was started in 1999. So, you know, I see 1999. That's when this all started. That's when Marilyn Smith started.
Mm-hmm. Just an amazing, trailblazing visionary. She never stopped trying to paint a better picture and to leave things better for others, which is really, you know, as Mike Wan took on that founding,
The founders'
battle cry,
yes.
If you will.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it was wonderful.
When you first met her and connected with her, what was it that did it for you? You know, that how did she pull you in, or what pulled you in with her?
Oh, there was her authenticity. There was something about her smile. It was, I felt very comfortable with her. And I can't remember her dog's name. That's terrible.
Benny. Named after Ben Hogan, Benny.
Benny, right. So, you know, Marilyn and Benny were inseparable. They were always there. And sitting in her home, it was so comfortable. There was just something, you know, it was, this sounds kind of Arnold-like. You know, you mm-hmm. felt like you'd known Marilyn for a long time. That's how she made me feel, that we were buddies from, you know, some distant past.
Absolutely. It's funny. I heard on a podcast yesterday, they were talking about connecting with other people and growing your network of friends. And I'm thinking, okay, just put a golf club in your hand, right?
Right. Yes.
A lot of the tips and things that they were talking about, like if I meet you for the first time, to go ahead and write down your name, write down your husband's name, ask you about someone, look at a picture, have you show me a picture of somebody that's important to you. Marilyn took notes on all those things.
Oh.
And as we've been going through the storage locker, because we have all of her memorabilia to forward her legacy, and we've been going through and documenting things, she had index cards of information about people and players and every little tidbit. So she really did know you and remembered you, because that was important to her, especially when they were looking for sponsors, when they were looking for growing their tour. Just the business savvy that these women had instinctively without knowing that they were businesswomen is just amazing to me.
It really is. I'm really impressed. Your goal this auction season is $25,000. You're already at, see, when I was looking this up this morning, it was 89.3% to the goal. There, and now you're at 89.9% to the goal with 22,476. No, but look at, there's so much to bid on. There's a lot of our people call Las Vegas the Ninth Island. So here's a TPC Summerlin foursome for the next time you're in Vegas. You know, that's available to the TPC foursome, the Summerlin foursome private. You can bid on that. Okay, it's still available. There's a golf and fishing vacation for four at St. James Bay Golf Resort. Doesn't that sound fantastic? Or there's the five-star Maldives Island Villa for two. And it looks really, I mean, is that special or what? The picture's amazing.
There's so many there, and there's one at a Myrtle Beach trip that's amazing. There's an incredible trip to Utah, and someone reached out to me who has stayed there before and said, the description's not doing this justice. Oh. It's just, just incredible opportunities, especially as people are thinking about and dreaming about what's going to happen, you know, next year, and then they're in holiday season. You have plenty of time to use something like this and purpose something like this. Someone bought a trip to Italy. They're so special, and what a unique opportunity in a way to help forward the work of the LPGA founders. Just, yeah, feel good. Pat yourself on the back. Cool.
It's 32 auctions with an S. .com/MS Foundation. Marilyn Smith Foundation. So 32 auctions with an S. .com/MS Foundation. It's perfect. When you started this foundation, it was first the Marilyn Smith Foundation, right? And then you added the founders. Did it change, or did I just not realize?
No, what transpired is that everything, all of her scholarship fund activity went through the LPGA Foundation. And now that Marilyn is no longer living, the impetus to go ahead and raise money and forward the awareness, the LPGA Foundation has so many wonderful things that they're doing that this is not their biggest focus.
Right.
Where it is clearly something that's very passionate to a group of like-minded souls that surrounded Marilyn. And in fact, Shirley Spork is a founding member of the board. Scott Wood, who is the tournament director for Founders Cup, he is on the board. He's the secretary. Jamie Zimron, whom I believe that you know. And even some of Marilyn's family members are involved. So we have people from all over the country who have come together to put this. And right. Shirley is the one who said, you know, Marilyn was always such a trailblazer. If we're talking about moving the things forward for the founders, it should have her name on it. So it's the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation. And I think eventually we will get to the point that it'll be more like Marilyn's United Way, if you will, so that we will be supporting Shirley's endowment, Renee Powell's Clearview Golf Course, and some of the other things that not only founders but pioneers, how they have leveraged golf to make a difference in our world and really honor their trailblazing spirits.
Wow, that's wonderful. And mm-hmm. when you mentioned Shirley Spork, I was going to ask you, who's helping you go through all of the treasures that you're finding that Marilyn left? It's Shirley.
Oh, my goodness. We have a team. We've been doing Shirley's items as well and videotaping her. And Danielle, I'm going to email you a YouTube link that you can share from the Golf Heritage Society. We did a grand Zoom week before last, and Shirley did a show and tell and information on historic clubs and why, and just it was amazing, amazing. Jamie Zimron has been leading up the effort on our memorabilia project. And Kathy Rakovitz and a couple of other people are helping in California. And then Jill Streit here locally, along with Pam Giffen, who is Marilyn's cousin, and myself and Jamie is actually here right now for the LPGA championships that are happening for the teaching division, or now the professionals division, in the Phoenix area. So we've been, we were at the storage locker yesterday, and they were there the day before. And so we've been unburying treasures. But the idea, Shirley, who's my wisest friend, suggested that we get some of the people who were close to Marilyn that could tell the stories about the items that are in there, because it's not just Shirley that can tell those stories. There are some others, because a cup is just a cup until you know why that cup was saved, right?
Uh-huh. That's right. That's right.
And so it's an amazing, it's an amazing thing. The vision is to have a mobile museum that can go to various events, especially collegiate events, to show and tell a little bit and share the love and the stories. And in fact, at Founders Cup in New Jersey this past year, my husband and I went, and a beautiful elevated event. And as sad as we are that it is no longer in Phoenix, there are so many people who are now learning about the founders and what they have done, and how the LPGA has survived and thrived based off of what they did. And these are people who never knew who they were, knew anything about them. And it's a whole new community and a new opportunity for more people to drink the Kool-Aid, I guess. So
yeah, yeah.
If we can spread the knowledge and keep them relevant, it's important.
Yes.
It's important.
It is. So right now we're raising money. The Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation. It's all about the Marilyn Smith Scholarship. And this is awarded to women. It's already $1 million to 199 women so far, to further pursue their academic dreams and their golf careers. The Marilyn Smith Scholarship is awarded to high school seniors who will play golf at the collegiate level. And that's what it's all about. The place to go, and these are great items. And as soon as I'm done with the show, I've got to go get the owl with the pearls. It's 32auctions.com/MS Foundation. Debbie Waitkus, co-founder of the Marilyn Smith and Founders Legacy Foundation and founder and CEO of Golf for Cause, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Love you. You are the best.
Oh, you're wonderful. And you'll keep me, we'll talk again so we can follow the museum concept. I love this. This is great.
Yeah, you bet. And just a quick FYI, enrollment for applications is available at the LPGA Foundation website right now, I believe through the end of maybe January.
Okay.
So if people have graduating seniors who want to apply from high school, it's time.
It's time. It's time for this stuff. I'm telling you. We're all overwhelmed. The FAFSA and all that stuff. Yes, go get them. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. Josh Hine is president of Solo Cart. RideSoloCart.com. We'll talk with Josh about riding solo on the Solo Cart. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Aloha, this is Harris English.
your defending champion at the Century Tournament of Champions. This year, the tournament invites you and your Ohana to celebrate the community on Saturday, January 8th, as part of our Ohana Day, presented by Southwest Airlines. This interactive day will feature fun for the whole family, including food trucks, special ticket packages, cakey activities, and more. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Josh Hine, president, Solo Cart, RideSoloCart.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Josh.
Oh, Danielle, good to be here. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm good. It's like your tagline is bringing necessary change to the golf industry. Where did that come from?
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, I think for us, we just, you know, we believe, and obviously, you know, COVID maybe changed some people's minds, but I think for us, we have a kind of a fundamental belief, really, that you know, golfers should have a option to ride solo. And I think there's obviously a lot of reasons for that and a lot of value that can be had from golfers riding, you know, their own cart or going to their own ball. And but ultimately that, you know, that tag, I think, comes down to this fundamental belief that we have that when a golfer shows up to the course, they should, if the course, you know, offers carts, the golfer should have the option to, you know, ride a traditional cart, walk, or ride solo. It just makes sense.
Yeah. So you created the single rider golf cart, but this looks completely different than your traditional golf cart. Describe it for us.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I'm happy you pointed that out. I think when we set out to design a single rider cart, we didn't want to create a cart which, you know, we just chopped a traditional cart in half.
Right.
You know, to us, I think that we recognize and frankly couldn't have done it without the, you know, hundreds of golfers and course operators that gave us feedback throughout our, you know, design process. But, you know, ultimately we decided that, you know, a single rider cart should also offer a unique experience and not just be a, you know, half of a traditional cart. And so, you know, one of the big differences between our cart and a traditional cart is the fact that the rider can stand up or sit down. And, you know, that's something that, again, even after we've developed the cart, people have loved. I think a lot of people like to ride standing up, and then there's times where they're waiting or, you know, maybe they are getting a little bit tired towards the end of their round or something like that, and they want to sit down, and our cart, you know, lets them do that. So the cart was originally designed to be able to, you know, stand up or sit down, but at the end of the day, we wanted to make sure that it was still, you know, stable and practical so that we didn't exclude anyone who potentially would want to ride alone.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a pretty good combination, I think, of being practical for, you know, golf courses and for golfers, but also being, you know, fun and unique and new.
And so it's like four tires, like a traditional cart. But then after that, there's the one seat for the solo rider. And you have the clubs in the front, not in the back. But in the back, there's a nice little niche for the cooler. And what's the flat panel on the front?
Yeah, so the front of the cart has the all the, right there below the steering column, they've got all the, you know, key and forward reverse switch, the USB port. They're all kind of in that front panel there. And, you know, like you had mentioned, I think it's probably an important call out as well of the clubs in the front. I'm happy you brought that up. That was actually something that, again, came from golfers. People really like being able to drive up to their ball, you know, grab their rangefinder quick and shoot the range and, you know, grab a club. Literally, you know, they're looking at their bag. So when they park the cart, they can see their bag there, their clubs in the front, and grab a club, step off, hit their shot, and put it back in. Away they go.
What do golf cart superintendents, golf superintendents, do they like these things?
Yeah, I always, it's a very, very good question. All the demos we do, superintendents are the one that all of a sudden, you know, they'll take the cart, you know, to test it. And they're the ones that we won't find for a half hour, 40 minutes. it's so funny. You know, we've got GMs and head pros and other people who will take the cart and, you know, 2-3 minutes, 5 minute ride. They come back and they're smiling and happy. But superintendent, they'll take the cart, and all of a sudden they are gone. And it's so funny. Every single one of them, it seems like, they always want to take the cart to their wettest spot on the course, or, you know, maybe a spot that's constantly torn up or rutted or whatever. And because they, you know, one of our big selling points, of course, is just that our cart is lighter and has lower PSI tires than a traditional cart, and it is much better for the turf. I mean, the fact of the matter is, courses will send our cart out on some of those fringe cart path only days when they wouldn't send a traditional cart out, or our cart would be the first ones that they send out. So yeah, superintendents love it. It's sort of an inside joke that we have, but as soon as you want to get everyone, to ride the cart and then let the superintendent take it, because you know they're going to be gone for a while. They love them.
That's good. You know, they also test it out, because if they're going to that kind of terrain, if the cart can go through there, then it's a good cart, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I imagine that this is also kind of good for pace of play.
Yeah, that's how it all started. Frankly, it was a pace of play concept initially. You know, we've been at it since 2015 and originally had kind of, you know, we wanted to get to the market relatively quickly. And then what we realized is that there are so many more ways that a single rider cart can add value outside of pace of play that we kind of took a step back and we spent some real serious time on design and iterations and prototyping and things like that. But you're absolutely right. Pace of play, I mean, I think we're averaging, based on kind of the data that we collected, it's around 42 minutes, 43 minutes saved.
Wow.
For 18 holes. Yeah, it's really, you know, it's meaningful. It's real time for sure.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because every player can go to their ball independently, and you don't have, you know, it's not like you're dropping somebody off, get your clubs, and then, oh, gee, they wanted to have a different club when they actually saw where they, you know, you know, it gets so complicated. This is great, and I see that you've got your solo cart in True Blue Golf Club at Pawleys Island, and a couple of other places that... Let me see. Let me go to the bottom. It's ridesolocart.com. Devil's Ridge Golf Club, Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas, True Blue in South Carolina. This is, we need to have one here.
No doubt.
Yeah, we need to have one here. You need to come and show it off. This is just fantastic, and it's so good meeting you, and it's so very cool that you are one of the sponsors of United States Disabled Golf Association, Jason Faircloth. I was looking at his website, and I went, oh, solo cart's going to be on the show. You know, I was just talking yeah. to Jason yesterday about whether he found his the course that he's going to have the next event on. Great to meet you, Josh.
You too, Danielle. And I have to say, you know, definitely spent a significant amount of time listening to you as well. And I think what you're doing is fantastic. I just love listening to you and the guests that you get. And just you do fantastic. So really happy to be here. And thanks again for having me.
It's my pleasure. But I have to ask you one final question. You had a great tease on social media not too long ago about some very exciting news that's coming to SoloCart.
Yeah,
not yet.
Yeah, we do.
It's not yet. If it's not yet, you'll have to come back. That's all there is to it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think maybe some of the things we've talked about today already are maybe pointing in the direction of what we have coming and what we're working on. But I can tell you that, you know, we have, you know, again, COVID is, you know, this is, it's not, first of all, it's not lost on me how serious COVID has been and it's just, you know, so many people have been affected negatively. And so I certainly, you know, like I said, it's not lost on me. I just, I will say, you know, for us at least, the general attitude across seemingly the golf industry for people wanting to ride alone has changed significantly as well with COVID. And so we're getting so many more requests for, you know, from clubs saying our golfers or our members are wanting to ride or requesting to ride alone now. You know, there are, I mean, our web traffic went up something like 420%. You know, it was just crazy. And so, you know, with that in mind, we have recognized that there are some pretty unique opportunities in the single rider golf cart space. And, I think we can have a more meaningful impact across the entire golf industry. I mean, golf as a whole, not just as a, maybe a rental fleet, but I think we can make some pretty significant impact across the entire golf industry and in many different ways. So, what I'll say in terms of that tease is that, you know, we've got some things planned that, that will be used, I would say, or that will allow our cart to be used, in multiple different ways by, you know, many different groups within the, entire golf industry. And so, it's important to us to, you know, we don't want to just make a single rider golf cart and, you know, have a, maybe a small population of golfers that end up using them or liking them. We want to do much more than that. I think we've got a good opportunity to do that with the type of cart that we've built.
So, Josh Shine.
I'd be happy to come back.
You got to come back because you can spell it out. Okay. Josh Shine is president of Solo Cart. It's ridesolocart.com. Go there. Check it out. It's really cool. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Daniel. Take care.
You too. Aloha. Dr. Paxton is in the house. Yes, we get to talk to the physician therapist, manual spine therapist, owner of Restoration Spine and Sport. He's Titleist Performance Institute, innovative manual therapy and performance therapy. We got to talk with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Aloha, this is Harris English, your defending champion at the Century Tournament of Champions. This year, the tournament invites you and your Ohana to celebrate the community on Saturday, January 8th, as part of our Ohana Day, presented by Southwest Airlines. This interactive day will feature fun for the whole family, including food trucks, special ticket packages, cakey activities, and more. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Evilay. Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Dr. Brian Paxton, PT, DPT, physician physical therapist, that is, manual spine therapist, and owner of Restoration Spine and Sport. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Danielle. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm real excited to be here.
It's neat that you're here because some of the, you know, I'm looking at some of the stuff. I don't understand everything. So, but the fact that Rudy Nieswanger, former NFL center for the Kansas City Chiefs, says you have magic hands, and he'll fly from one coast, from the West Coast to the East Coast, just to have you work on him. Pretty darn amazing in my mind. So I thought, I need to talk to Dr. Paxton about, we all have issues. I mean, you know, as we get older, that is. And some of, you know, some of my nieces tell me their back's starting to, I'm like, your back is hurting. Wait a minute. Not yet, dear. So first, let me ask you, what is the Dutch manual spine therapy?
Yeah, it's a very unique hands-on approach to treating spine dysfunction. Basically, there's an involuntary reflex that occurs when you injure any of the joints in your spine, and the muscles that control that particular joint are part of this reflex, and basically the brain is telling the muscles to hold the joint in a static, stiff position. So we hear about, you know, people having stiff backs. Well, I believe that this is where this originates, is from this involuntary reflex. So with this Dutch manual therapy, it's a very specific technique that can override this reflex and give you full range of motion at that joint.
Wow. So yes. all that, what about inflammation around those joints in the spine? We're talking about all the things that go down the spine, right? When you say joints, what do you mean?
The facet joints are the joints of your spine that prevent and provide the motion to the spine. So we have a segmented spine, meaning it has many segments, many joints. And when you have specific joints that are locked up, that have this reflex, they cannot move, the forces and the loads aren't able to be distributed evenly through this segmented spine. So you have basically focal areas of the spine that take on too much stress. And that can be the joint that's injured, the disc. You can have a nerve that becomes inflamed. But essentially this reflex that causes this joint not to function correctly, you then have to compensate for that loss of motion, that segmented motion in the spine. So it can lead to all sorts of compensations that cause pain, but also can hinder the performance in your body, which we know affects the golf swing.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea that you could do this with manual therapy. Like, when you talk, you're just massaging?
It's really moving the joint a very specific way.
Ah.
So it's not a what we would call in our field a soft tissue technique. I do have a lot of soft tissue techniques in my toolbox that I utilize. But as far as this specific spinal manual therapy, we're treating the joint.
Wow. Okay. Then there's the stecofascial manipulation.
Yes. The Stecco family, they're out of Italy, and they've done more research on the fascial system than anyone in the world. And they're considered the rock stars of the fascial world. So fascia is basically the internal wetsuit of the body. We have layers of fascia that surround our muscles, organs, very interconnected system. If you imagine a wetsuit that a deep sea diver would wear, it controls motion. The fascial system actually sends feedback to the nervous system to tell the brain where any of our joints are at in space at any given time with our posture and movement. So we can develop restrictions in between the fascial layers that are called fascial densifications. And essentially what it is, Danielle, it's a glue that forms in a particular area between the layers of fascia that prevents the natural sliding and gliding of the fascia that should happen as we move.
Wow.
So that can significantly restrict our motion, cause us to compensate. It can impair system signals back to the nervous system that inform our brain where our joints are at in space. So it can significantly affect our performance.
My goodness. I just, you know, I'm just really impressed. Why aren't you here? Where do you work out of?
Yeah, so my home base is Amelia Island, Florida, which is just north of Ponte Vedra, Jacksonville area.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm here is I'm from coastal Georgia, the Golden Isles. I was very fortunate to grow up here and receive instruction at the renowned Sea Island Golf Performance Center. So I've been a golfer for over 30 years and really an avid student of the golf swing, golf mechanics, thanks to the instruction I had at the Sea Island Golf Performance Center.
Wow. And so I bet you have like no space available. You must be booked out months in advance.
I'm staying pretty busy and I'm just very thankful. I have clients here at Amelia Island. I have clients, St. Simon's Island, Jupiter, Florida, Palm Beach area. So I do have clients. You mentioned Mr. Nieswanger earlier who flew in from Louisiana. So I'm very, thankful to have clients from all over that, they've been struggling with different issues, but golfers in particular struggle with their low backs. So they'll, typically try to find any type of relief they can to keep them playing. So they're willing to travel if they need to.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, absolutely. Sometimes, the lower back problems cause problems in other parts of the body, in muscles, as you were saying. I have lower back issues. That's why it was particularly interesting to me when I was reading up on you. I'm like, wow, this is a physical therapist. It's not invasive at all. This is spinal manipulation that I'm imagining is relatively gentle, because a chiropractor is like the last person I can see because of what's happening for me. I'm sure they can do great things for people, but in my case, I can't. So it was just amazing. And then I also wanted to ask you about TPI Medical. I know about Titleist Performance Institute coaches. What is TPI Medical? Yes.
So they have three tracks. They have a medical track, a fitness track, and basically an instructor, golf instructor, biomechanics track. So you can, depending on your profession, as you progress through the TPI training, you can specialize in different areas. And I believe they actually have a power certification as well that's geared towards golf instructors and golf fitness coaches. So my training, obviously being a physical therapist, I chose the medical track.
Of course, right. This is brilliant. Now, here's one. I don't know if I'm understanding this at all. The Postural Restoration Institute.
Yes. I said earlier I have a pretty extensive toolbox. So I've traveled the country to seek out and learn the best techniques, philosophies of how the human body works and performs. So Postural Restoration Institute was founded by a physical therapist in Lincoln, Nebraska, Ron Haruska, and it's really an exercise-based approach to restoring postural alignment and function to the human body. And it's a great tool to have in the toolbox.
I need that.
Don't we all?
Yeah. We sit so much, there's all this forward and then you try to go backward and everything's all out of sync.
Yeah, correct. Sitting is the new smoking, Danielle. And, I'll blow a cultural paradigm out of the water here, but most people are taught to sit culturally in an incorrect position.
Okay. What's the incorrect position?
Let me elaborate.
Yes.
We are all taught, if I were to ask you, Danielle, what is the correct way for you to sit? Just in a few words, how would you describe the correct way to sit?
How would I?
I
was sitting. I was, with the spine erect. The butt on the seat,
yes.
Feet on the floor.
Yes.
Spine up.
So, correct. We're all taught from a young age to what? To sit up straight. Don't
yes.
slouch. Correct.
Yes.
Well, that's actually very, very detrimental. Poor advice, because when we sit with a very extended, arched lower back, lumbar spine, we are actually loading the joints in our spine. We're compressing the disc. We're closing down the neural foramen where the nerves run through. So when we sit, the natural position we should have of the lumbar spine is actually a flexed position. Now, that's what we would say, in layman's term, a slouch. But it's a slouch only in the lumbar spine. And that actually takes pressure off of the lumbar spine, takes pressure off the disc, the joints, opens up the foramen where the nerves go through. If someone has sciatic and they have an inflamed nerve, they're going to be much better off sitting with their lower back slouched.
So that you have the lower back slouched, but then you keep your shoulders back?
The shoulders are not going to be pinched together. They're just going to be nice and relaxed.
Oh.
We want to have a wide shoulder position. Oh. So we don't want to slouch or flex through the middle back, the thoracic spine.
Yeah.
But the lower back, we are going to have that quote, slouch position. The medical terminology, the biomechanics terminology would be a flexed lumbar spine. The hips are flexed when we sit. Our lumbar spine should be flexed as well.
Well, I'm just going to have to retrain my whole body now.
Yes. Yeah. So let's take this now to the golf swing. So we are taught typically most instruction now is when we bend over to the golf ball, we're taught to essentially keep a flat or an arched lower back, correct?
Yes.
So we are now in an extended lumbar spine. So we have compression through the disc. The joints are in what we call a closed pack position in the lumbar spine. A closed pack position does not allow optimal rotation through the lumbar spine. So we are setting ourselves up for really a lot of problems with that posture in the lumbar spine. The way we should naturally bend, if all of our joints have normal function in the lumbar spine, is we should have the lumbar spine flexing, meaning like a slinky going down the stairs. Do you remember the old slinky toys?
Sure.
So we should have that bend in our lumbar spine in approximately the first 30 degrees as we bend towards the ground. And that goes for picking up your keys off of a chair or setting up to the golf ball.
Wow. Are you going to open centers anywhere other than where you're located?
That is the plan. My plan is to expand, definitely add more locations. Would love to have one in Hawaii.
Yes, we would love to have you here. That would be great. And, you know, you can, I could, you know, come by and see you and maybe you could, my goodness, you'd have like some of the people that you train could be at golf courses. And this would be fantastic. Dr. Brian Paxton, I am so glad we persevered and that we got to meet physical therapist,
yeah,
manual spine therapist, owner of Restoration Spine and Sport. I'd like to talk again about...
I would as well.
Oh, great. Okay. Thanks. Great meeting you, and we'll get together again in the clubhouse. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Danielle.
Aloha. Coming back with one of our old friends, and Anthony Pioppi has, of course, one book out that we all know, The Finest Nines, because Kahuku Golf Course is included in it. But he's also working on a new book. Seth Rayner is the focal point. We always think so highly of our Seth Rayner courses. And, of course, one of them, you know, has a hotel planted in the middle of it. That wasn't Seth Rayner's desire. And he passed away before his Mid-Pacific Country Club course was done. But nevertheless, he's such a wonderful person. And we're going to talk with Anthony Pioppi right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
The Golf Club tip number 72. Don't throw your club over the fence. It slows down play. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments. Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home where the Grand Slam lives. Need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family.
This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Anthony Piopi, golf author, magazine writer, senior writer, Superintendent Magazine, contributor to USGA website, Golf Course Architecture Magazine, historian, archaeologist, and now, of course, the executive director, Seth Rayner Society. Seth Rayner Society, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. And so now you're working on a book, a Seth Rayner book?
Yeah, I'm going to write, working on the biography of Seth Rayner. The biggest problem with the book is that Rayner, unlike his contemporaries, was rarely interviewed about his craft. Maybe 1,000 words, actual quotes that I've come across in his short career, and he never wrote about his craft. So the story that I'm going to tell is going to revolve around newspaper articles and where we can and club histories and club minutes that detail his work and where what he was doing and how he did it. But very, very little of it's going to be in his own words, which is intriguing, you know, and frustrating at the same time.
I bet. Does he have family? Are there, you know, people living who were related to him?
Well, the biggest problem was is he had no children. He does. He has three of his great grandnieces are alive, and I'm friends with one of them. Her name is Mary Araminta Cummings, and Araminta was Seth Rayner's wife's first name. She was not alive when Rayner was alive, but she does remember Rayner's wife, and she has some photos that she's let me use in various capacities, and she remembers. She can recount some stuff about Araminta and Mary Cummings' grandfather, whose last name was Halleck, was Seth Rayner's best friend, and she remembers him, but that's it. And since there was no children, the line gets broken right there. And then compounding the problem was Rayner's protege was a guy named Charles Banks, and Charles Banks, Rayner died young. Rayner died of pneumonia at 56. And his protege, Charles Banks, died of a heart attack at 51, 5 years later. And Banks only had one daughter. And I have not been able to track her down to find any info, if she has,
right,
or if the family ended up with any information.
Wow.
So it's frustrating, when you run into stone walls like that. But I found out a lot of good stuff about him that we didn't know. And the real reason, this is a book that people have wanted written for a long time, but you couldn't write it up until newspapers start to get digitized, because there was no way to know that he was in places building golf courses unless you stumble across it doing a computer search. There's places like newspapers.com, but there's also a free website through the Library of Congress called Chronicling America that has digitized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of small town newspapers, and that's really helped us. When I say us, I research with two other guys. It's really helped us trace where Rayner was and what he was doing, even outside of golf. You know, what he did, what his personal life was like, because Rayner was born in 1874, and in the small town newspapers in those days, just keeping track of your residence was part of the local news.
Yes.
So we know that when he went on car trips with his friends, or he went to the Yale Princeton football game, or what he wore at the Halloween party that they had at, you know, a friend's house. It's really amazing, but that kind of fills in some of the blanks and sheds light on who he was as a person.
That is brilliant. I mean, I was just thinking of the movie, you know, that you could make just with that little bit of information, right? I mean, you'd have to flesh it out considerably, yeah, and make up some stuff. You know, this is not based on the real life, but what?
Right. You know, and I'll tell you, one of the interesting things that really helped us was because at the time he was working at what is now Wailea in Mid-Pacific, because Hawaii wasn't a state, there had to be, there was records kept of who the passengers were. So we know when he went to Hawaii and when he came back.
Wow.
And if we didn't know that, it would be a conjecture, or we would have to get to the clubs or try to track down newspapers and see if they covered it. But we know exactly the ship that he was on. We know how many passengers were on it. We know what port it left from, what port it arrived at, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we know that, for instance, his wife was with him when he traveled out to Wailea and Mid-Pacific. And so that really filled in a blank for us. And then he comes back from the trip. He stops in California because he has projects there. We think that he headed home for the Christmas holiday, 1925. And then he went down to some projects in Florida and died of pneumonia in January of 1926.
Wow. Pneumonia. You know, it's, you know, we are so lucky that we have health care at the level
we have it.
You know,
right.
We have no idea how lucky we are. We take it so for granted. It's just incredible. But so when he was here, do you know which ships that he sailed over here on? Was it, some of the different, they're Lurline or something like that?
Let me see if I have my computer in front of me, and I'm not sure that I can come up with it right away. But yeah, it's, you know, the line that he traveled on and all of that stuff, which is, you know, really kind of, you can then find the ship, what the ship looked like.
Yes,
and,
yes.
You know, all that kind of stuff. But that's a lot of fun. You
yeah,
know?
That is a whole lot of fun. So when Banks took over, so he took over the final work on, did he follow Rainer Truly at Mid-Pacific Country Club?
He didn't. Banks never came west.
Oh.
He didn't get beyond Tennessee, as far as we know. And they had, prior to Rainer's death, they had hired a guy named Joe Mayo to build what, to lead the construction project at Wailea. And then Mayo went over to Mid-Pacific, and at the time, Mid-Pacific only built 9 holes. They didn't go for the entire 18. In fact, I just found out yesterday doing some research that, the 9 holes, the second 9 holes, I'm looking at the article right now, at Mid-Pacific, opened on September 3rd, 1949, and it was built by, they were built by a guy named Willard Wilkinson, and the story out of Mid-Pacific is that he built it to Rainer's plans. I don't know if that's true, that's just what the club,
told. Yeah.
So Banks never gets there. Banks never gets to Hawaii, but the assumption is that anything that was going on there would have been run past Banks if there was changes in the plans, or if there was, you know, a construction issue.
Yeah, yeah.
That Banks would do that.
And so what drives you? What is your, you know, love of Seth Rainer? Where does that come from?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. I think the answer is I got very lucky like 25 years ago to see 2 of his best golf courses. I live in Connecticut, and I got to see him play Yale. The golf course at Yale, which opened April of 26 after Rainer had died, but was done. I mean, they were just waiting for it to grow in. And then I also get to see Fisher's Island a bunch of times when I was younger, and that's off the coast of Connecticut, even though it belongs to New York, and that's considered by a lot of people consider that his best golf course. And whatever it was, is his design style struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
And I just started studying him and reading about him and seeing what other layouts he had around the country and what I could see and all of that kind of stuff.
Now, you would have to know style to have it strike a chord with you. Where did you study golf architecture?
No, I didn't, and it was one of those things. I don't know how to describe it. I know, looking back, that I realized I had an eye for architecture, even though I wasn't around anybody initially who did. My parents play golf, but they're not into architecture. And I just remembered seeing things, recalling that I would see multiple ways to play a golf hole, depending on the way, how far you hit the ball, or what kind of game you had. And I didn't know that that was considered a style of architecture. And then I started to read about it with a book called The Architects of Golf. It's no longer in print. And I started to read some books on architecture. You know, and that kind of stuff by Alistair McKenzie.
Yeah.
He wrote some great stuff. And George Thomas, who designed Riviera and some other courses out in California. I read his book, Golf Architecture in America, which is a seminal work. And if you're looking to get into that, to golf architecture, I would recommend that book first, because he includes drawings and photos of holes from other architects.
Interesting.
And then what happened is I ended up working through a weird series of events. I ended up working for Superintendent Magazine, which no longer exists, and Brad Klein, who was the architecture editor for Golf Week at the time, was the editor of that publication. And even though it was out of Florida, he and I both lived in Connecticut, and I get to spend a lot of time with him. He wrote the biography of Donald Ross, Discovering Donald Ross, which is probably the high watermark for golf course architect biographies.
Wow.
And I got to know him, and he taught me a lot of stuff and showed me some stuff. And as I read more and as I got to see things, I understood, you know, the concepts of that architects were trying to achieve. And to me, the great golf courses are the ones where there's, you know, multiple routes to play a hole, not just for the same caliber of player, but for different caliber of players. You know, if one of my friends can carry a bunker, he has a better shot in, shorter shot in on the second, on his approach to the green. If I play away from the bunker because I'm not as bold as him, I have to carry a bunker or play around a bunker on the approach shot into the green. It's called deferring the challenge. And so I started to see that, and it just became, and to me, those are the interesting golf courses.
Yeah.
Courses like that are the ones that hold my interest.
Anthony Pioppi, that's it's interesting how something gets us. You know, we don't know why. And then you go down this pathway to discover more and more, and it opens up a whole world that you didn't know how big it is and how vast the information. You know, you just start. That's why children need to be exposed to so many things in their lives, because you never know what's going to trigger inside them that moment for them to go, oh, I like this.
Exactly.
I like this. I have to wrap the show. So you're going to help. You're going to help me. You're the author of course, To the Nines, right?
Yep.
The Finest Nines.
Yep.
Haunted Golf.
Yes.
Shore Acres, the First 100 Years, 1916 to 2016.
Yep.
And the History of the
Minnetonka Club.
Thank you.
Hard to pronounce, harder to spell.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. We're going to have to keep in touch more so that we can continue.
Yeah, we will. Thank you.
Our conversation. Anthony Pioppi, golf author, magazine writer, senior writer, superintendent magazine, and contributor to so many. You can see why he's an archaeologist, a historian. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsors. Are you stumped? Like I am for a lot of people. You have no idea what to give a great friend who seems to have everything because they get everything they want, right? Well, give them a Poipu Bay gift certificate, home of the Grand Slam of Golf for years. Hawaii watched Tiger Woods play Poipu Bay so many times. Kauai South Shore gem. Indeed, he loved that course. Year after year, he was there. Everyone at the golf club wants a gift certificate from Poipu Bay, so you need to get one. Give them a call. Here comes the Sony Open in Hawaii. PGA Tour stars are hitting Waialae January 10th through the 16. You need to get up and close to that action, and you need to register to volunteer at SonyOpenInHawaii.com. SonyOpenInHawaii.com. You need to jump on the Sony Open Wave of Aloha for Hawaii Charities. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, you need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day, night, right away. Don't hesitate. If disaster strikes your home or office, you need to call them. Licensed contractors, so after they mitigate the problem, they'll re-help you restore everything back to it. 528-3434. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store across from Home Depot's Iwile parking structure on Alakava. A mega store indeed, and the Waipahu store is open too. And Century Tournament of Champions continuing to work closely with the PGA Tour, local and state governments, and leading health officials to deliver a successful tournament in a safe, healthy manner on Maui. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.